Good morning and welcome to Holly Grove Lutheran Church. We are grateful for your presence among us today. We've got a lot happening in the service today, so we might go ahead and get started with announcements. Make sure my mic is good to go after having the mask around my ear. Just a couple of announcements this morning. Our basket offering has changed just a little bit. We've had a couple requests to have a more frequent basket offering, and so council voted on, it's gonna fret me and I'll be distracted. There we go. On Monday evening, council voted to now have the basket offering on the first and third Sundays of the month. So if you're not here for one of those Sundays, you'll have another opportunity. So since today is the third Sunday of August, we will have the basket offering immediately after the offering. A big announcement that I'm really excited about, Sunday, September 12th, which is the Sunday after Labor Day, we are going to have a rally day. I've asked around and said, I want this to be an old school rally day. Give me all your memories and excitements for what you would want a rally day to look like. So we are planning that. I think it's going to be a really great day. Put it on your calendars and please plan to be a part of that day. We want to thank Max and Libby Carrick yet again for the generous gift of this baby grand piano. It has already significantly enhanced our worship, and we are deeply, deeply grateful. This morning, we are doing a few things during the children's sermon. We're going to be doing the blessing of the backpacks. We're going to bless all of the donated school supplies. Look at all of this. That's amazing. We're going to recognize our outgoing Silly members. We have three girls actually, who are going up into middle school. Rosalie's already there, but we want to recognize you this morning too. And we want to recognize our scholarship recipients this morning. We have a few birthdays this week. Andrew Curry, Robert Napolitano, Tony Chapman, Chad Hedrick, Abby Hearn, and Kyle Murphy. And Carrie and Bobby Fritz are celebrating their 52nd wedding anniversary this week. Congratulations. Let us pray. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand and comfort them when they are discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall, and in their hearts, may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let us now prepare our hearts for worship as we listen to the prelude.
Thank you.
Please stand. We gather together in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit, that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to God's people on earth.
Let us pray. Almighty God, in choosing the Virgin Mary to be the mother of your Son, you made known your gracious regard for the poor, the lowly, and the despised. Grant us grace to receive your word in humility, and so to be made with one, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
The first reading is from Isaiah. Because the shame of God's people was double, and dishonor was proclaimed as their lot, therefore they shall possess a double portion. Everlasting joy shall be theirs. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrongdoing. I will faithfully give them their recompense, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants shall be known among the nations, and their offspring among the peoples. All who see them shall acknowledge that they are a people whom the Lord has blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My whole being shall exult in my God. For he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself with a garland, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its shoots, and as the garden causes what is sown in it to spring up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring up before all the nations. The word of the Lord. The psalm will be said responsively. I will bless the Lord at all times. I will glory in the Lord. Proclaim with me the greatness of the Lord. I sought the Lord who answered me
and delivered me from all my terrors.
Look upon the Lord and be radiant.
And let not your faces be ashamed.
I called in my affliction and the Lord heard me
and saved me from all my troubles.
The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear the Lord
and delivers
them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Fear the Lord, you saints of the Lord. The second reading is from Galatians. When the fullness of time had come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as children. And because you are children, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a child. And if a child, then also an heir through God. The word of the Lord.
Please stand. The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the first chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. I'm going to start just a little bit sooner than this because this song of Mary's is in response to what the Holy Spirit does within her and Elizabeth as they encounter one another. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be fulfillment of what the Lord had spoken to her. And Mary said, My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy according to the promise He made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever. And Mary remained with her about 3 months and then returned to her home. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. At this time, I'd like to invite the children forward for a children's message and any teachers or anyone else who works in a school setting. Good morning. Thank you all for coming up. Tomorrow is a big day here in Davidson County. We start school tomorrow. When do you all start school in Cary? In a week. So you have one more week of summer vacation. Well, I wanted to just check in with you all and see how you're feeling about school starting. I thought we could do it with our thumbs. If you're feeling good, thumbs up. If you're feeling not so good, thumbs down. Or maybe a little bit of both somewhere in the middle. Some middles, but mostly thumbs up. Well, that's good. That's good. Well, I wanted to offer on behalf of the whole congregation this morning a blessing for you, for the school supplies that we've donated for our teachers. There's always, for me, a sadness that comes at the end of summer vacation, that the days of sleeping over and having a lighter schedule are over, but I always had excitement too. that I was going to make some new friends and for all the things that I was going to learn over that year, because it always seemed like every time I got to the end of a school year, I'd sort of become a different person. I'd grown, I knew more things, I had more friends. And so I think there are going to be really good things ahead for all of you in this school year as well, as you learn, as you grow, and as you serve others. So I thought maybe what we could do is, while we pray for our students, the teachers could lay hands on the students, and then when we pray for the teachers, we can lay hands on them. Would that be okay with everybody? Okay, so if you are near a student, maybe we can all divide up a little bit. Let us pray. Lord, bless all of these backpacks and the children and youth who carry them as they begin yet another year of school. Give them peace when they feel nervous, focus when they feel distracted, energy when they feel tired. Open their minds to the lessons they will learn both inside and outside of the classroom this year. Help them to make friends that build one another up, and to be friends to those who need them. Guide them in making good choices as they grow in wisdom and knowledge. Keep them safe, O God, and be ever present with them in the classroom, on the school bus, on the playground, and at home. And may they feel your loving care in all they do. Amen. And students, will you help me lay hands on the teachers as we pray for them? Lord, bless those in the ministry of teaching and serving future generations. As they embark on a new school year, grant them energy, passion, discipline, and endurance for their daily tasks. Keep them safe, O God. Infuse their classrooms and schools with an atmosphere of care and mutual respect, that all interactions there will be bathed in patience, care, and understanding. Help their lessons to grow pupils in both knowledge and character, and help us all to support the work these teachers and staff do in building up our community and our future. Amen. And can you all help me hold up hands toward the school supplies as we bless the school supplies? Jesus, you tell us that when we do something for the least of these, we do it for you. Receive these, our gifts. Bless these backpacks and school supplies and the children who will use them. Let these physical gifts be symbols of the love and support we give to the children of our community throughout the year. In Jesus' name, amen. And we have backpack tags for you to put on your backpacks. Can somebody read for me what this says? Can you read that? Peace be upon you. I want you to know that as you all start out this school year, that you will be held in my prayers and in the prayers of our congregation, and that we pray whether you feel excited, whether you feel nervous, that God's peace will surround you and that it will guard your hearts and your minds. So take this for your backpack. And maybe some of the grown-ups can help show you how to hook it on there. Do you want one for your bag, Judy? Okay. So what you do is you take the big loop, you wrap it around the loop on your backpack, and then you put the tag through it, and it'll create another loop to hook onto your backpack. I hope that each time you see this or you bump into your backpack and touch it, that it will remind you that God is with you wherever you go, school, the playground, the library, and that God's peace is always with you as well. Before you go back to your seats, I do want to recognize our scholarship recipients. I don't think any of them are here today, and we got the chance to pray for Caroline and Jay last week, but do want to acknowledge that Caroline Black, Andrew Curry, William Curry, Sarah Grace Davis, Taylor Fritz, Jay Proctor, and Logan Turner received scholarships. Education and learning is really important to the people of Holly Grove, and it's a gift for all of us to be able to support these young people in their education. And finally, I want to recognize, I think Rosala is the only outgoing Silly member here today. There are lots of milestones in life, some really big and some a little bit smaller, but still, all throughout the time when we are growing up, there are different points in our lives where there are milestones. And one of those milestones is finishing elementary school and going into middle school. And that means that here at Holly Grove that you have finished your time with the Silly group, and now you get to start being in confirmation and in the older youth group. And although that's exciting, I know there can still be a little bit of sadness too, because you had a really good time in Silly. But I've got a book for you called Grit and Grace, Heroic Women of the Bible. The reason I got this for you, the other two folks are Gracie Ferguson and Madison Lore Pope. And I'm really excited that we've got these three young girls who are entering into confirmation. And I want to remind you that it doesn't matter to God anything about where we come from or who we are. God loves us because of who we are, and God is going to use us. And I struggled when I was a young person because so many of the stories in the Bible were about boys and men, and there weren't a lot of stories about young women. Well, this book lifts up a lot of those stories, and that it shows us that women in the Bible are strong too, and that we can offer our lives and our hearts to God as well. And so I hope you'll be inspired by the things you read in that book. So I'd like to invite the grown-ups to go back to your seats, and if the kids will stay up here, I want to do something a little bit different this morning for the sermon, because I'm very mindful that sometimes when I preach, it can often sound like I'm only talking to the grown-ups. Do any of you ever feel that way? You can be honest. Sometimes I use big words and I talk about things because I get really excited. And so I just want to talk a little bit about this morning. You may have noticed that we read a Bible story this morning that is often shared at Christmas, right? We often talk about Mary, the mother of Jesus, mostly in the Sundays of Advent leading up to Christmas. Well, today is a little bit different. So in the church, there are several what they call principal festivals, which are big celebration Sundays and big celebration days in the church, like Christmas and Easter and Epiphany and All Saints Sunday. Those are big festivals in the church. There are other days that are called lesser festival days, still important, but not as important and as special as those, because those principal days are related to Jesus's life and his ministry. But the lesser festivals and days look at the lives of people in the communion of saints. Does anybody know what the communion of saints is? Does that term sound familiar? Where do we hear that, or when do we say communion of saints? We say it every Sunday, actually. Calvin's pointing to the baptismal font. That's a big part of it, because in baptism, when we become God's children, we become a part of the communion of saints. The communion of saints is another name for the family of God. And it's not just the family of God here at Holly Grove. It's the family of God throughout all generations. So people who have died and have gone before us, they're part of the communion of saints. We're part of the communion of saints, and people of God who are yet to be born, they are also part of the communion of saints. So it spans across time, it spans across place. So even people like Abraham and Moses and Mary and Hannah, they are members of the communion of saints, just like we are. So you're right, at the baptismal font, that's where we become part of the communion of saints. Also, each Sunday in the Apostles' Creed, we say, I believe in the communion of saints. Does that sound familiar? I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints. We say every Sunday that we believe in the communion of saints because we do believe that God has adopted all of us and that we are all a part of that family and that we will forever be a part of that family. Well, another way of thinking about the communion of saints is found in the book of Hebrews. And they talk in there about a cloud of witnesses. So in chapter 11, they're talking about faith and the gift of faith, and they list out several people who have lived out faith in their lives in the Bible, like Noah and Abraham. So they're giving examples of these people who have had great faith and lived that faith out. And then it says this, after all of that, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. So here they're talking about life in kind of race terms. So life is like a long distance run, like a marathon. And they're saying there are a lot of things that are going to hold closely to us and weigh us down. Like we've got a backpack on us, and they're the weight of our sin and the weight of really hard things, and we just carry it down, and it slows us down, and it keeps us from moving forward in the ways that we should. But what this is saying is, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside the sin and everything that clings to us and weighs us down. And so that cloud of witnesses, I think, is another way of understanding the communion of saints. So if we think about life being like running a race, and there are crowds maybe on either side of us cheering us on, that's the communion of saints, the people who have already gone before us, who know what it's like to live a life of discipleship and to live their lives for Jesus. They know there are going to be times that are really good and times that are really, really hard. And they know what it's like, and so they're there cheering us on. And also in that that cloud of witnesses are all of your Holly Grove members of our family here. They are cheering you on. We cheer one another on. And so in that, as we're talking about the communion of saints and the cloud of witnesses, one of the people in the cloud of witnesses is Mary, the mother of Jesus. Now, Mary wasn't much older than you all when she was carrying Jesus. She was maybe 12, 13, 14 years old, somewhere in there. Can you imagine carrying Jesus in your belly and growing him inside of you when you're that young? But she did, and she did it under some really difficult circumstances, because people didn't believe her that the baby in her was God's son. And so she dealt with people criticizing her and saying really unkind and mean things about her, people not believing the truth that she spoke about. Yes, Calvin. It is kind of hard to, Calvin says, if there's somebody pregnant with God's son, that's really hard to believe. Absolutely it is. And I think the people around her found it very hard to believe as well. So since I just gave Rosalie this book, Grit and Grace, I thought I would read to you the little bit about Mary. So the author of this book tries to write a little description about what it was like to be a disciple of Jesus from Mary's perspective. And it wasn't just about when Jesus was growing in her and when he was a baby. She was a disciple her whole life long. She raised Jesus as a young child. She watched him as he began his public ministry, which are the stories that we read about in the Bible. She watched when people didn't like what he talked about. She saw that people were disappointed with him, and I think that probably worried her heart. She was afraid what would happen to her son. And she was there when Jesus died. But she was also in the upper room when they were praying. And when Jesus was resurrected, she saw the resurrected Jesus, and she was there and received the Holy Spirit too. So listen to this story from Mary's perspective. My story is one of the most famous ever told. Surely you've heard of it. Surely you know the part about me, Mary, the young girl, the maiden, the virgin from Nazareth. You know, the one who was visited by an angel and was told that she would bear the Son of God. That's me, and that is my crazy story. And whenever I tell it to people, or even refer to it, people ask, what was it like? What do you mean, what was it like? I always want to say, what do you think? It was absolutely terrifying in every single way. The angel was terrifying. The very idea that I could be pregnant without even being married was terrifying. The thought of telling my fiancé Joseph, and oh, the thought of telling my parents, it was terrifying. And yet, to be asked to carry the Son of God and to take on this miraculous task, that was magnificent. Surely you know all about what happened after that, the story of Jesus' birth. At Christmas, people tell the story of Joseph and me traveling to Bethlehem to register our family. Everyone talks about me giving birth to my son Jesus in a stable, surrounded by noisy stomping donkeys and sheep covered in hay and stable gook. Children sing of us being visited by shepherds, who were also noisy and stomping and covered in hay and stable gook, now that I think of it, and kings. And even still, even when all people think they know about me, they still ask, what was that like? What can I say? It was scary, yes. Any new mom can tell you that having a baby is scary, but it was also glorious and amazing. A baby, no matter how they come, is a gift, always. And Jesus was the very best gift. Fewer people ask about our years as refugees in Egypt. We were run off by a king who wanted our baby boy dead. Or about when we came back home to Nazareth. But I wish they would ask, because it was really hard. Really, really hard. Nobody in my hometown believed the story of the angel's visit to me or my miraculous pregnancy. Everyone assumed I'd made the whole thing up. So I'd hear neighbors and former friends whisper behind my back. Everywhere I went, people would snicker and roll their eyes at me. I'd always shuffle away, little Jesus toddling right beside me, tilting his head at people's cruelty, and squeezing my hand just a little bit tighter. How I loved that boy. But as I raised Jesus and his brothers and sisters, the whispers died away. After all, Jesus was such a wonderful boy. Different for sure, but great. Everybody said so. After all, it was hard to miss his kind way with the animals, the way he'd stop to pet the lambs and speak so sweetly over them, the way he tended to injured birds. It was hard not to appreciate the way he included all the neighborhood kids, especially the shy ones or those who had trouble keeping up in the games. And it was hard not to be dazzled by how quickly he learned the scriptures and understood their ancient words well enough to talk with the rabbis. Jesus was at once challenging and respectful in only the way a great student can be. People do ask me about these years. I mean, who doesn't want to know what it was like to raise the Son of God? I suppose my answer is the same as any mother trying to do the best she can. It was hard, and it was good. It was a challenge. It was a thrill. Raising Jesus was a joy that I had never known. But there was something else, something that's harder to talk about, something certainly no one asks about. Because even on our best, happiest days, I'd worry. I'd worry about loving him as much as I did. I'd worry because I knew that whatever it was that God had sent him to do would be dangerous. It would pierce my soul, as the prophet Simeon had told me back in the temple when Jesus was only 8 days old. But how could sweet little Jesus break my heart? How could he pierce my soul? I couldn't imagine when he was a child. But as he grew and started traveling and teaching, I began to fear the worst. As soon as Jesus began gathering disciples and preaching a message of love, I realized that not everyone liked what he had to say. Not everyone approved of who he healed and when. Not everyone liked the different kind of peace that Jesus offered. Not everyone wanted to be told to love our enemies as well as our neighbors. Not everyone wanted to hear that the poor and the meek among us were the blessed ones. And nobody wanted to hear that we should give more to the poor and worry less about ourselves. But most of all, not everybody wanted to hear Jesus claiming to be the Son of God, the Messiah. Certainly not the religious leaders of our day. But of course, plenty of people did clamor to hear and believe what Jesus said. They were the ones who saw the miracles that he performed, who experienced the great welcome he offered everyone in his presence, who felt the acceptance and mercy in just his mere glances. Others thought he would lead a revolution against the Roman government and that the Jewish people would finally be in charge, the way that God had promised we would. Jesus gained a following, but that only bothered the leaders more and more. And one day, a sword did pierce my very soul, just as the prophet had said. That was the day I heard, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" shouted from the streets. The day I saw Jesus dragged and whipped and beaten. The day I saw my son's broken body and bleeding body dragging that cross toward Golgotha. What was that like, some would ask me. It was the very worst thing you can imagine. I'm not sure that there's an emotion for me screaming and crawling after my own son, Jesus, in the street, begging for them to take me instead. I'm not sure there are words for the scene of me collapsing with the other woman at the foot of the cross, of us moaning and weeping below his precious feet, the very feet I'd kissed and cradled the night he was born. What I wouldn't have given to go back, to be holding him again, to be visited by the shepherds. What I wouldn't have given to go back to those nights that I snuggled with him and prayed over him. What I wouldn't have given to giggle again together when we started our prayers with, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." All good Hebrew children prayed these prayers, but not all good Hebrew children were literally praying to their father. And in the moment when Jesus whispered his final words at the cross, he did bring me back. "Father," Jesus said on the cross, "into your hands I commit my spirit." When Jesus died, part of me died too. My son, Emmanuel, God with us, was no longer with me. But you probably also know that my story doesn't end there. And even though during that Sabbath, from that Friday sundown to Saturday sundown, I thought it had, as Jesus was dying, Jesus had asked if God had forsaken him. That's how I felt, forsaken. by God, by the God who had asked me to carry this child, by the God to whom I'd said yes to all those years ago, by the God I loved. But then I remembered those words, my God, why have you forsaken me? They were so familiar. They were the beginning of a psalm, of a lament, that ended with a great promise, with the words, he has done it. And I wondered, just what would God do? And then on Sunday morning, Mary Magdalene showed up and was screaming with joy. I've seen Jesus, she said. He's alive. God had done it. When Jesus rose from the dead, I did too. God wasn't done with my Jesus, and God wasn't done with me either. So what is it like to be me, the mother of Jesus, the Son of God? It's a blessing. I am blessed. That's the only word I know that captures a life with Jesus, because it's the only word that somehow takes the wonderful and the terrifying, the joyous and the hard, the heartbreaking and the hope-filled, and turns it into the so, so good, into something and everything worth living for. Thanks be to God. Thanks for staying up here with me. You can all go back to your seats.
confess what we believe with the use of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended to heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
When the prayers of intercession are nearly over, I am going to offer a prayer for this prayer shawl, which is for Amy Coltrane, Jan Watkins' daughter. It hasn't been fully confirmed yet, but the doctors think that she has MS. So please hold Amy in your prayers. Also, Jan's grandson, Keegan, is in a very dangerous place right now. He is in the military, and his family is very, very concerned for him. So please keep him in your prayers throughout the week as well.
Rooted in Christ and sustained by the Spirit, we offer our prayers for the church, the world, and all of creation. You have revealed your love for people overlooked and cast aside, sending your Son to be born among the humble and poor. Send your church to proclaim good news to those who feel abandoned, despised, or rejected, and make our congregations places of genuine welcome and hospitality. God, in your mercy, all creation longs for healing and restoration. Thwart the destruction of plant and animal habitats and amplify the voices of those who advocate for wise stewardship of the earth's resources. God, in your mercy, we remember your promise to our ancestors and look to you for justice. Expose pride, greed, and exploitation wherever it is found, and raise up humble leaders who act on behalf of those who are poor, oppressed, or in other need. God, in your mercy, your Spirit lives in our hearts and makes us heirs of salvation. Rescue us from the shame and dishonor. Lift up the lowly. Fill the hungry with good things, and have mercy on those who turn to you for help, especially Gary, Dean, Teresa, Jean, Harold and Myra, Gary and Judy, Bill, Jimmy, Sherry, and all of our friends and family listed in the bulletin, and those we now name aloud on our lips or silently in our hearts. God, in your mercy, Mary's song of praise and amazement echoes through this assembly. Attend to those in this congregation and throughout the world expecting a child, and console those struggling to conceive. Come to the aid of those enduring a difficult pregnancy and those who have experienced a miscarriage. God, in your mercy,
God, we lift up to you our sister Amy, who is trying to navigate the rocky waters of figuring out what is going on in her body, navigating doctor's appointments and tests. And it is likely MS, a diagnosis that will change her whole life and that will last the rest of her life. We ask that you would give her comfort, give her strength, surround her with people to support her and care for her. And, oh God, give her your peace, which passes all understanding. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
We give thanks to you, O God, especially Mary, Mother of Jesus. As you have delivered them from all their afflictions to save us from all our earthly troubles until that day when we sing your praise together in heaven. God, in your mercy.
We lift these and all our prayers to you, O God, confident in the promise of your saving love. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. I invite you to share a sign of God's peace with those around you.
Jesus, bread of life, you have set this table with your very self and called us to the feast of plenty. Gather what has been sown among us and strengthen us in this meal. Make us to be what we receive here, your body for the life of the world. Amen.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and who by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, mighty, and merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and the suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Come, taste and see that the Lord is good. The body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let's pray. Jesus, bread of life, we have received from your table more than we could ever ask. As you have nourished us in this meal, now strengthen us to love the world with your own life. In your name we pray. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you with mercy and peace, with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Let's use our mission statement. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose.
Go in peace. Serve the Lord.